Ghostbusters Resurrection is presented by the Nerdy Show Network. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you.
Please consider supporting our work on Patreon at patreon.com/omniversemedia, where you'll find ad-free episodes of Ghostbusters Resurrection and all of the storytelling podcasts that we create.
And if you'd like to open your own Ghostbusters role-playing franchise, head to gbrpg.com.
Pool is driving the van. Briggs is driving the Ecto-1, and the Ecto-1 is, you know, still chugging along after everything terrible that's happened to it this entire time. Both of the vehicles have the mobile containment unit in it, and the mobile containment unit is losing power steadily. Not crazy fast, but it's going to be close. You want to make sure you get back in time.
We got to get back to the firehouse.
Yeah. There is really no problem on the way back. I will say, though, that it's so early in the morning, it's November 1st. You know, like, technically you've been in November for several hours now. You get back to the firehouse at like 7 a.m. Like, the sun is, it's starting to get a little bit brighter on the horizon. You arrive at the firehouse.
This is the first time I've ever been up all night on Halloween for a different reason than alcohol.
Yeah. Who's gonna run in? Who's gonna put the traps into the containment unit?
I'll help.
Don't have another place to run to currently.
Well, I mean,
so
about all of us?
Yeah, we
let's just all help each other
inside and then figure out.
Let's run as a team,
guys. From there,
team building exercise.
Obviously, I'm still there. Alan Friedman's still there. Tobin's still there. Ralph is still in the back, but he might actually be asleep now because the sun's coming up. So, like, you know, him being a vampire and all. And we blocked out that window and stuff like that for him. So, when you put the traps into the containment unit, everything's perfectly fine. Goes in like normal. Light's green. Traps clean. Works for both of them.
Woof.
So you have them in. There is still one out there, but we haven't heard anything about it. When you finally start talking with Alan and myself, we're both obviously very exhausted, but I say, we're getting reports of seeing Samhain, the tall guy with the crazy armor that you guys have been describing, in many places. He's being seen everywhere. Just roaming the streets, roaming alleyways. It doesn't make sense. There's no way that one guy can be in so many different places at once. It sounds like there are multiple of them walking around. And I have yet to see anything, but we're getting calls saying that something was seen here in this area, but he's already long gone. It's been one hell of a night, but thankfully it's almost over. I don't even know where to send you at this point, but Mr. Book had some more information, and I'm going to go check on Tobin. I'm going to take care of some things, so I might just pass out, so let me know if you need me.
Sure. I'm sure this has been a really hard night for you, though.
So I'm gonna step away, and Mr. Book's gonna say, okay, I do have some good news. One of my contacts that I've been trying to reach all night finally got back to me. He was my mentor for everything having to do with Cult of Veritas. He's the one who brought me in. He's the one who handed me the keys to the library and is the reason why I am where I am now.
Is it really the truly legendary Mr. Scroll?
No.
Mr. Library.
Mr. Papyrus.
Since he was higher, he still ranked higher than me. He was known as the Elder Pen of Occult of Veritas because he would be keeping track, and he would also add to some of the new books that they were, you know, making and keeping records of. Unfortunately, his health started to decline several years ago, and he kind of retired from public life, and he never really attended Occult of Veritas after that, but he built the library that I'm familiar with, and he said he actually wanted to talk to me, so I wanted to bring you guys out with me, and he says he has information on Samhain that's not in the library of Occult of Veritas, and that he may very well know what's going on. So,
Sounds like he didn't do a very good job of writing shit down that he knew.
Well, that's the thing that worries me, is you remember when I told you that there were things missing from the library of Occult of Veritas, and there were certain books that were maybe accidentally left behind because, like, with pages torn out, there's things missing. Someone is covering something up, and if anyone knew what these original texts were, it would be this man.
Okay.
Is he local?
Yeah, he lives in Winter Park. He's like 10 minute drive from here.
Cool. Let's go talk to this guy.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so let's load into the van, since that's a working vehicle. with a mobile containment unit.
And, agreed.
And okay. We can all fit in it.
Everybody happy with their loadout, or now would be the time to switch?
I am going to swap my trap out for one that didn't have...
water damage?
Water damage.
Sure. And remember, everyone's got their swords and whatever else too, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Why not? And Mr. Book is with you, obviously, as well. So you get in the car, start making your way over there. Again, the sun isn't quite up over the horizon, but it's getting kind of light bluish, you know, just before pre-dawn. Mr. Book starts to explain his friend's name is Marcel Abendroth. He was actually a very good friend of mine for many years, but 7 years ago or so, he started to suffer from signs of Alzheimer's and dementia, and he voluntarily left. I still visit him, you know, perhaps once or twice a month. You know, we have dinner and stuff, and just I update him on everything that's happening, and he tells him little stories, and it's nice. But he has good days and he has bad days, but let's just hope that today's a good one, and we'll see.
Let's hope it's better than ours.
I was gonna say, if not, it's about to
pretty default most people's day is better than yours so yeah. far. Like that goes for most people.
I'm pretty hungry.
He lives in a pretty big house in Winter Park. It's by Azalea Gardens, which is like a really rich area, if you know, if you've ever...
Yup. Yeah.
Do you get to Azalea Gardens much? What am I saying? Of course you don't.
I'll send you to Azalea Gardens, Nazim.
And as you pull up into this roundabout driveway, you know, up to the front of the house, again, the sun is... you're getting the pink and the yellow and everything. It's all... the sun's...
pretty.
Yeah, it's probably like 20 minutes from now. The sun's going to be up. The front door opens, and a woman appears to be in her 40s, stands there ready to greet you as you come in. Mr. Book knows her. He greets her. He says, "Hey, Kelly, how's he doing today?" And she says, "Oh, I'm afraid he may not have gotten any sleep at all last night. I'm actually about to make some breakfast, so if
he's
anybody..."
in good company.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He seems to be okay to talk. If you want to go ahead and go inside, you know where to go. If anybody wants anything, like...
Yeah, I heard breakfast.
Food. She says, "Yeah, I'll go ahead and follow me really quick. I have a tray of some small stuff out. I'm actually making some things. So if you want to come inside, you can go in through this like really big kitchen and everything." And I'll just say, she's got some croissants out, glass. She has like a pitcher of orange juice, and maybe some... she has some eggs cooking or whatever.
Yeah, I'll do have some croissant and OJ. That's fine.
Okay. After the night we've had, I just flip my goggles down and...
you're more than welcome. If anybody wants to flip their goggle down, I won't make you roll for it. This is all...
I'm like, screw the goggles, lady. Give me all your croissants.
I hold up one of the Herkimer diamonds.
I'm like,
sure. You do whatever you want.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, if you move the Herkimer diamonds around, literally nothing happens.
No, I'm just blessing the area.
Yeah,
lady. Don't
yeah, sure, sure. And with goggles, PKE, this is real food. This has no psychokinetic, weird voodoo bullshit, anything involved. Oh,
I don't care if it does. I'm hungry.
I was like, it's probably already halfway through the croissants. Yeah.
And she says, so please just help yourself, but you know, Marcel's in the library when you're ready, and he did mention expecting some company, so I hope I made enough. I didn't know how much to make, but you're welcome to any of it.
Awesome. Yep.
Yeah,
make a plate.
Anything else?
So if I almost want to throw it on the ground and see if it's smoke bomb, like
the Herkimer diamond?
Yeah, a little grenade, you know.
Smoke bomb.
Instead of slime grenades, like what if it, I don't know. It'd be cool. I've seen a ninja do it with like a tiny gem in some movie.
This isn't a movie, though. This is real
this
life.
Isn't, this ain't a sorry. Fucking game, man.
You're right. This is not a game.
This is not a game
based on a movie. No. This is
real life.
This is for real.
This is happening.
Get your shit together.
I'm sorry. I got to get my head in the game. No, not in the game. I'm sorry.
We're not playing here. Let's not play pretend.
With that, I guess Mr. Book is going to lead you guys into the library. This is obviously a very nice, swank, fancy house. Multiple floors. As you approach the library, you hear loud opera music coming from beyond the wooden doors. He's going to say, he likes to listen to his music a little bit loud, so, you know, I'm just going to make sure we don't startle him when we go inside. So he opens the doors, music comes blaring out, but you see that it's a beautiful library. Like, two floors, little tiny spiral staircase leading up to, like, the second level. Aww. Like, you know, bookshelves all along the way. He has some cool ancient artifacts, like under glass, under certain things. He's got some things framed on the wall. It's like from every era.
A Blockbuster membership card.
Sure.
And a rose in the glass case.
Yeah, clearly this guy's like a fan of history and a fan of books and everything. More specifically, of the ancient variety. There's a fireplace, and like on the other side of the library, there's like a large flat screen TV. And he's just sitting there, and he has like these large stereo speakers playing this opera music. And he's just kind of in the moment, just kind of sitting there listening to it. It's like kind of, his eyes are kind of half shut, and he's just sitting in a, you know, like in an armchair. Mr. Book's going to go over to the stereo. He's going to turn it down. Mr. Book goes over, and he gently, you know, touches his hand and makes sure he's, wants to see if he's asleep or awake or whatever. And he looks up, and he recognizes him, and he says, he's like, "Oh, Nathan, I'm glad you're so glad you could make it. Do you know this song?" Like, he's just casual conversation, and he's like, No, I don't. What is this?" He says, "This is Act 2 of Turandot. It's the famous riddle scene." And he's actually about to answer the first riddle. "Do you know what's born each night but dies each dawn?" And he's like, I don't know. No, I don't know. And he's like smiling. He's like, "It's hope. You get it? Because each night you're going to pray that you see the sun again. And you're not sure. But then when you do, you don't need hope anymore. You know you've made it." He goes, "All right, that's profound. Listen, these guys have come a long way, and we really need to know what you were talking about with Samhain. Do you remember us talking about Samhain over the phone briefly just a little while ago?" "Yes, yes. What do you want to know?" "Some of you got your little tray of food. You've had some orange juice. You're seeming okay. And Marcel seems very welcoming and warm and just is eager to answer any questions you have, so..."
"All right, I'll say, excuse me, Mr. Abendroth. We are the Ghostbusters. Are you familiar with us?"
"I've watched your exploits on TV."
Have you watched them this evening?"
"No, but I was aware that there was some terrible things happening and that you've really been through it. And by your appearance, I can see that it's been very difficult. I hope everything is all right."
He looks down and sees like these gross footprints all over his floor.
Leading all the way in.
Tracking everywhere.
"You didn't even wipe your feet."
"OSHA, we can't take our boots off."
But Nathan had mentioned Samhain, and you couldn't have been fighting Samhain this entire time."
"Not yet."
"Not directly.
We had one encounter with him, and since then we've been dealing with his Druiden."
"You've seen them face to face. You've fought Druiden
face to maw,
and lived, obviously."
"Barely.
That's incredible.
If you can call this living." "Actually, I feel better because we ate. So, never mind." "No."
He's just amazed, and he's in awe of you at the moment. But
your associate Nathan here tells us that there have been some works missing from Occulta Veritas Library, and we don't know what they are. And they're from relevant texts to what we've come up against tonight. And we were wondering if you might know what they were."
"Well, I haven't been to that library in years. I don't know if I could tell you what's missing if I haven't been there, but I can try to let you know what I know. What do you know of Samhain?"
"Well..."
"He's very tall."
"He's tall? Not very handsome."
needed saving.
"Yeah.
He keeps questionable company."
"Well, I'm just going to give him the rundown of like, well, look, he comes out tonight." "Mm-hmm. As a fellow..."
"Scholar.
Member of Occulta Veritas."
"Yeah. As a fellow scholar of the occult, I know that he was regarded as the Celtic god of darkness, and there are ages prophesied he'd come back, and the majority of what we know is just what was handed down through the oral tradition." "Mm-hmm. In addition to what
we've seen in the last 12 hours."
"Yeah.
We connected the seven Druiden, one each to one of the seven types of forbidden magics of the Renaissance, I think. And the Druiden, we know, come with Samhain. He also had a herald that we actually interacted with many years ago."
"This is his tooth."
"He says, oh dear."
"We didn't know anything concrete until he showed up."
"Mm-hmm.
So we're happy to what you could tell us that could help us."
"Well, Marcel gets, he sort of shifts in his seat and he takes a moment. That text is wrong. He's not a Celtic god of death and darkness."
"Oh, thank goodness."
"Puppies and cotton candy."
Please, puppies.
"We've been freaking out over nothing this whole time."
"What we're dealing with here is something unlike anything you all have faced. This is not a god. This was not a magician. This is not someone who died and then came back. This is not a demon. This is a force of nature. This is not something that fits into a body and walks among men as gods do.
We're getting reports to the opposite.
That is not Samhain.
Oh.
Samhain is not in a body. There is no form that could ever represent what he is. He is formless. He is incorporeal. He is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's between you and me and the chair and the fireplace.
So you mean to tell me that the thing that we've run into and encountered at least once or twice tonight is not actually physically Samhain? It's like a projection?
That would be apt. I would say it's more of a piece that has pierced the veil and is on our physical plane. It is just but an eye of Samhain looking to do his work.
Sounds vaguely biblical.
Sounds like the Christians ripped off somebody.
Yeah.
He says, oh, the Christian, don't get me started.
Okay.
You and me both.
Okay,
buddy.
Let's not go there.
Half of the lies that have been put down through the centuries is because of a cover-up. They framed him as a god of the Celtic god of death. That doesn't exist. Do you understand? The idea of God is not even as old as man, and this is something far older and far more powerful.
So we're talking elder god.
You still don't understand. He is energy itself, based on fear and darkness. And every bit of fear ever felt only fuels his power.
So, like, extra-dimensional being, maybe?
If you feel more comfortable with those terms.
Nothing about those terms makes me comfortable.
No.
Yeah. through a whole mouth of croissants, I'm like, we're screwed.
So, it was fueled and created by creatures that existed before man? Like, does a mouse, if I yell at a mouse, does it fuel Samhain?
All things that can feel fear, and he is the direct result of that. Every action has an opposite reaction. Every time you feel fear, every time a creature, a child, if it feels fear, it only makes him stronger.
So to beat this thing, we need people to stop being afraid right now.
Fear is perception. If you don't perceive it, it's not there.
Samhain was only the name that they gave to this being that they couldn't comprehend. The creation of Stonehenge was a way to channel their thoughts and energies to give him a body, to let him walk among them as a man. When Julius Caesar was fighting the Celts, he reported them burning wicker men and having these strange sacrifices. I mean, they held festivals for him on a yearly basis. Hundreds of thousands of people every year would gather just to get a glimpse of him. His influence would last but a night. Then he would be gone until next year. But I suspect that even then, it was as it is now. Not actually him, but a hole through space to look through. A periscope into our world where he cannot actually take form and exist, but yet influence it. But then, at some point, he disappeared. These texts that are misleading you, they came at a time when this being, which I will continue to refer to as Samhain, vanished. He didn't come back, no matter how hard anybody tried. And for hundreds of years, silence. And at that point, there was an attempt by the church to erase him from history, change the nature of him. The church claimed victory. They thought it was a cultural victory. Samhain was just a misinterpretation of a holiday. But the entity itself came back, small, weak, because there was not enough people believing. And over time, he must have worked his influence in unseen ways. Until now, he's able to get enough people to focus and to bring him here.
Why did he disappear for 100 years? Like, there has to have been some cause. Either he just decided not to show up, or...
I mean, it's not like people were not fearing for 100 years, right, though, but no, I suppose.
But were people not fearing enough, or was there something in place that may have stopped it?
With a being so powerful, where he could create a body and walk among people for one night out of the year, due to a great sacrifice by his followers, of course. Using their flesh that he could move was a big deal to them, and it allowed him to connect with the very thing that gives him life. Something must have happened to where he didn't want to come back. Something where he wanted to save his energy for hundreds of years for a purpose. This is a being that's already so very powerful that it would risk not appearing and risk people stopping to believe in it, knowing that fear itself would continue to fuel him for a precise moment in time.
Hmm. So why here, why now?
What do we think his or this being's motive could be? Because now that he's being described as this force, the motive that was described by his followers seems kind of below that level.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, what he wants is to cover the earth in darkness. That's where he lives. He is the Lord of Darkness, the Lord of Spirits, and this was the night he makes his move to become the true Lord of the Earth.
Is he trying to actually enter, like, full on, like, actually, maybe enter?
Oh, without a doubt.
What do we do to get rid of him? How did they send Samhain home at the end of the festival?
They wouldn't send him. He would leave because of the sun.
Oh.
The sun would come up. Perhaps it was the ritual itself that brought him there, only lasted a certain amount of time. Perhaps the sun itself had influence. These things I don't know.
Well, the sun's almost up.
He says, indeed, the sun is almost up.
Well, he's also embodiment of darkness and fear. What's the embodiment of opposite of darkness? The sun. So can he take the sun?
At this point, you know the sun is like 4 minutes away from rising. Like this, like the sun is like, you can even see like there's large windows and like French doors that lead out into like a backyard, but there's drapes covering it up. Mm-hmm. But you can even see under the curtains there, the first beams of sunlight are coming in. The sun is coming up as you guys are speaking.
Like, oh, well,
let's stop us from having to do this all again next year. I don't want to have to do this every Halloween.
We'll be prepared next Halloween. We're going to deputize some people for sure.
I don't know what any of you could do to stop a being such as this. You destroy his physical form. That's not him.
I don't think we can bust him.
Well, he said he needed a place to focus him, like at
Indeed.
Stonehenge. Why don't we destroy the places that are the focusing points? Do we have any Stonehenge-like places in Orlando?
Stonehenge was created by man to focus their energies on one point, to worship this being. His Druiden are focused on the element that attracts them. Fire, water, air. Samhain is the lord of all that is dark and spiritual. Where is the highest concentration of dark spirits in this world?
The White House.
Word.
Graveyards, right? I mean, that are places of tragedy. I don't know. Gettysburg, St. Augustine.
A bourbon distillery.
Normandy.
Please be a bourbon distillery. Please be a bourbon.
These are the kind of spirits you guys are talking about?
Well,
I was worried about
just
nothing.
Got a lot easier. Well,
I don't know. Like, what?
Can one of us roll a brain?
Everyone, give me a brains roll.
I'm gonna
do a brains roll for Mr. Book as well.
Oh wow, that's a terrible roll for me.
Oh wow.
Okay, so around the table, everybody.
13.
27.
19.
10.
16.
LaForge is getting an idea. Mr. Book rolled a 44.
Jesus.
Good lord.
Wow. I told you, he rolled really high, and he had a lot of dice anyway. And suddenly, Mr. Book locks eyes with LaForge and says, the containment unit.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I'm glad we put all of them in there.
But, like, if we release them, it's pandemonium.
So, why not New York? Why us? Because, like, they've been around longer. Surely they have more ghosts, right?
Well, they may have more, but the concentration that we have, based on what we have captured in the past couple years is probably pretty far above theirs right now. Not to mention the Druden.
So, all right, so we don't have a way to cherry pick ghosts and pull them out and move them around. So the Druden are probably the biggest problem in there.
Or the Druden are a manifestation of the problem we have.
Yeah.
But he
Marcel says that you still don't quite understand. He's Lord of all ghosts and demons. He can command them however he chooses. And now that he is there in your containment unit, he's Lord and Master in there.
Do the guys up in New York have, like, do we have something we can do, like a kill switch or something? Like, I mean, I know it sounds redundant, but...
There's a kill switch. It's just like, there is.
But I mean, like, is there something we can do to lock it out and lock them down?
Yeah, can we, like, put it in a barrel and throw it in the ocean?
So Marcel will just say, here's the danger. Samhain is in there, and there's nothing we can do about that. These creatures that are walking around are but his eyes and his hands. But Samhain himself, or this being, this ageless, ancient being, is in there waiting. And the sun is almost up. I feel his time is fast approaching.
I'm going to show him the book and see if he's seen anything like it before.
The book that you got from Casadega, the little blank journal with the pentagrams on the front?
Yeah. I say, we were told by a reliable source that this would be helpful or relevant, but we've not found a use for it. Okay. You as a book person.
Sure. You hand it over to him, and he takes a look at it, and the cover, he goes, oh, well, that's a Druden foot. That's the footprint of a Druden. And he flips through, and he looks at you like you're crazy, and he says, this is blank.
Oh, yes. So you see it too.
Okay. He's like, this isn't a book. This is a, you know, you like, he looks at the binding and he's just like, what is this? This is a souvenir. This is nothing.
Oh man.
She tricked us.
What do you mean by a footprint of a Druiden?
The symbol of the pentagram is also known as a Druiden fuss, aka a Druiden's footprint.
Okay.
It was the symbol of the Druiden used to ward off lesser spirits.
What about our materia?
Excuse me?
You never played Seven?
Who suggested the Herkimer Diamond? Because I don't want to take credit for it. Using the book.
Oh, yeah. So when I'm going to take the book back from him, and I'm going to pull out one of the
Herkimer Diamonds
and move it close to the page and see if it shows anything.
Absolutely nothing happens.
Okay.
Right, okay, guys, I'm calling New York right now because we need some help on this, and at least we have some further brains up there who would know how to theoretically deal with this.
So, with that, you'll pull out your phone, you dial, and it's Ray. And he says,
Nina, hey, it's Ray.
Okay, I'm gonna put you on speakerphone, alright?
Sure. What's the story? How are you holding up down there?
Well, not too well. And I'm going to tell him everything that's been happening up until now.
Okay. He echoes some of the same sentiments. He's like,
That sounds impossible. Like, I, how can anything get into a containment unit if you didn't put it in? And how could something get out? We still don't know. He'd mentioned the demon with the missing tooth somehow had gotten out.
The analogy that makes sense to me with Samhain, that he sort of grows somewhere like a fungus. Like, if there's just a certain, like, condition, like a certain environment there for him to be there, then he will be there, and the strongest environment of that kind is inside the containment unit.
That's possible, but the inside of a containment unit is almost like a control. There's nothing in there biological or of Earth. It's all psychokinetic energy. It's just an energy field, really.
Well, this is a being of energy.
Yeah, then it's the energy that attracted her. How would you normally destroy what's inside a containment unit?
We're talking about a being of pure energy. Energy is, as famously quoted, neither created nor destroyed. I don't know how to break the laws of physics. Psychokinetic energy is an energy signature. It is measurable. But to destroy it outright, I really don't know.
Then we need to figure out a way. I mean, there's a possibility we could maybe figure out a way to transfer it somewhere where it would be easier to deal with.
That's not a bad idea, actually. Is
change the environment.
Yeah, and so he'll like echo what you're saying and be like,
well, since we can't destroy energy, we can move it.
It has to transfer it or change it somehow.
Sure. Okay. So, Dr. Stance, if this is energy, presumably it may be able to be altered. Like, is there something we could do with like a polarizing filter to separate different parts of it or similar concept?
Altering something that strong and that powerful as this is being suggested, it would be quite a challenge. It would require an extraordinary amount of energy to do so. If there's a way to channel it and move it, that might be something to it. But changing it, transforming it, that would require an amount of energy that I couldn't even begin to guess how much it would take.
I mean, channeling it and moving it is pretty much what we do when we put it in a ghost trap and then empty into the containment grid, right?
Correct.
But that would require moving large number of dangerous ghosts, and where else are we going to move them to? It's not like we can just hop on a trolley down to, you know, their station.
We also still don't have a way... What?
I don't know. Just go with it.
So we also still don't have a way to pull ghosts out of the containment grid.
And also, you're just dealing with a energy problem on top of that, because if you start transferring some of these things, our mobile containment unit, which is pretty beefy, had a hard time containing a Druiden by itself. So if we start moving things like Bathory or something like that, we're going to lose control of the situation and then have those out as well, making the situation...
Ray throws this idea out. He says,
to put this in simple terms, it's like we're talking about going to the ocean and moving the ocean one bucket at a time. Or turning the ocean into something that isn't water. We can turn it to ice, but that's more energy than we have. We can turn it to steam, but that's also more energy than we have. If we can move it, carve a channel somewhere, carve a river, something, if there's a way we can move it and siphon it off and trap it somehow where it cannot reach an influence of living things that feel fear, it can at least be trapped.
I foresee two solutions. One is, we want him out there, we can just go up and knock on the containment unit and ask him to come out. And maybe he's polite. He came when other people called him. The other one is that it sounds like our real enemy is fear itself. And how do you cure that?
It's actually the only thing that we should fear.
Right. Yeah. It's the only version of it, apparently.
But I mean, that's asking millions of people, billions of people to
We're not
fear.
Asking.
We're demanding. Stop being afraid right now. Stop being afraid, or we're all gonna die.
Right. I'll give you something to cry about.
So, like, do
ship
we just
alcohol to everybody? Just feel like,
do we cover the planet in a constantly supply of like mood slime to make everyone happy?
I think we all go.
We slime the sun.
mood slime in the water supply.
I think at this point we should all go robe shopping and go ahead and accept our new lord and master.
During this, Mr. Book is looking very pale. Like he's shook.
You're only helping him. Stop it.
I'm sorry. Kelly comes in with like a tray. She gives some breakfast to Marcel. He just starts eating, and he seems kind of aloof now. Like he's fading back and forth between the seriousness and the forgetfulness.
I shake him.
Shake that old man. Dr. Stance on the phone, he doesn't have an answer. And all he can say is like,
I'm going to look into some way how to transfer it to somewhere. I don't know where, but there's got to be a place we can put it that's not here and that's not the containment grid.
I have an idea.
Is it a real idea or is it a joke idea?
I don't know.
At this point.
Now I'm more interested.
At this point, anything.
Is there a way that we could route power to the containment unit to move it?
What do you mean, route power to it to move it?
Like, disconnect it from the power source where it's connected, pick it up, put it, like, drag it behind the Ecto-1, and move it somewhere.
The containment unit does have a battery backup that lasts for several hours, and emergency generators that will last for maybe an hour. In case of a total, power grid failure.
We could also probably wire something from the Ecto-1 to it to help maybe keep it going for a little bit.
Well,
what do we bring it to, a nuclear facility?
We don't need several hours. It does not take us several hours to reach the beach. And we know.
He's holding the beach kit card in his hand.
This thing will triple our fun at the beach. I think it'll be hard to be fearful when we're having three times as much fun as normal.
Another crazy thought. What if Marcel's not telling the truth?
That's just a good saying. Point.
He could be lying to us completely, and we're still as fools as before.
He could be a cultist.
Do you have a bullshit detector skill? If you want to give me a brains roll to determine if you can get a read on Marcel, like what the deal is, you can go ahead.
26.
You should have going back in your memory of the past few minutes and just trying to remember everything that he said. If anything stuck out, is kind of weird. You remember that he is suffering from Alzheimer's.
Right.
And he is supposed to be suffering from dementia.
Right.
But something's not adding up.
Because he seems fairly coherent, doesn't he? I mean, like,
oh, yes.
he hasn't like messed up or forgotten something or been like, give me a second or give me a minute or give me half an hour, yet at all. He's been just like rattling down information like...
Yeah, he just kind of has ADD.
Yeah. So Nina at this point is... You feel confident in your suspicions that you're either being fed bullshit or you're not getting the whole truth. You still got Ray Stance on in the phone in your hand, and you got these guys all standing around you looking like they're not sure what to do.
Okay, because we can't give it away that, you know...
You could whisper it to me. Whisper, please.
I lean over to Josh out of the view of Marcel and really pretty much anybody else in the room, and say, we haven't seen a single sign of his, you know, Alzheimer's or dementia or forgetfulness at all. Like, he's been fairly coherent. Like, do you think we can really believe everything that he's saying?
And I'll say, ooh.
We could be completely off.
It's a good question. Hang on. And I'll just walk over to him and I'll say, thank goodness, brother. They didn't solve it in time. Our work together.
You got a high bluff, right? He nods. Okay.
This is a joke I'm totally not in on. What's?
I say they never figured it out. We've won. The Earth is covered in darkness. Oh, thank goodness the Ghostbusters didn't do what? What was it they weren't supposed to be able to do?
All right, you gonna roll that bluff?
My best roll. I should have spent brownie points. I forgot about them. I need y'all motherfuckers to spend some brownie points.
after season two, I'm afraid to spend a single one.
I don't think I can seduce him, man.
You don't know that.
You don't know until you've tried.
I can kick him.
At least he'll be really entertaining.
Convince him to tell us what's going on.
We need some entertainment.
I think you've already beaten
him, the hell
Doug.
Now.
You never fucking know. Hold on.
Dude.
I could try.
What is your roll?
19. I think you picked up 20 dice. I don't think.
You said 19?
19.
That's...
This is a very perceptive old man with dementia.
Okay, he got more than 19.
Yeah,
but it was by the amount is what matters.
Okay,
he looks at you and he just kind of not sure whether to laugh or like whatever. He says, "You think you could lie to me about something like this, and I would somehow look the other way? Either way, none of you are leaving." And with that, he's going to call out, all right, if the rest of our guests could please join us in the library for a few minutes. And the doors will open. And in will come Robert Evanson.
Oh, fuck that guy.
Which was the guy who escaped from police custody. And the guy that you were introduced as, Henry R. Clemens, who was the person who was on the golf course that called you out to the golf course where Sam Hain was spawned. And followed by 10 more people in SWAT gear and weapons. Marcel is just going to continue eating, and he's going to say, if you want to live, to see what happens, you should put your equipment down. He's going to keep back to his breakfast.
Okay. I said, okay. I reach in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And I pull out one of the Druiden stones.
One of the materia?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I drop it on the floor and point my Neutrona wand at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, I don't know what I'm doing.
That much is evident.
And then I pull out a slime grenade. If you ever want to feel fear again, you'll let us go.
He just claps. Like, and he says, go ahead. Do what you will.
I guess. I mean, I don't know what else to do, to be perfectly honest with you.
We're fighting people and we have weapons.
I mean, I could just kill all of them because they're murderers and I do want to live.
I mean, I'm not unarmed currently.
This is a moral decision, guys.
We must destroy evil.
Do we cut them in half with our lasers like the end of Congo?
I draw my pistol and point it at the old guy.
Okay, so everyone's going to draw their stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Everyone give me a muscles roll.
15.
11 and a ghost.
2. This is so unfair.
16.
Everyone starts to feel very dizzy. And everyone starts to get really, like, things are moving kind of slow. And as you're all pulling out your gear, you kind of stumble. And you don't go full blackout, but you get really very dizzy and you get really very uncomfortable. Nina is very close to blacking out. Nina probably falls to the floor, like, and you're probably resting, like, on your hands and getting... And that's when it suddenly hits you, Mike. You were eating croissants and orange juice.
Fuck! Ugh!
And with that, you know, everyone's kind of reacting very slowly. The SWAT team is going to come over, and they're just going to very delicately just take your pack off. And they're going to undo your belt, and they're going to take all the equipment away, and they're going to take your sword, and they're going to take this, and they're going to take that. Nina is stumbling. They catch you from falling. They gently take the phone out of your hand. Dr. Stantz is like,
what's happening? Nina, what's happening?
And they just, boop, shut it off. They pocket the phone. And you really are, like, struggling just to stand up straight.
Wait a second. So there was something in the croissants and orange juice?
Oh, yes.
Well, then I'm definitely fucked because, like, I ate them all.
Yeah.
That was the most candid I've ever seen.
This entire time.
Nina, I'll give you a brownie point for that one.
Yes.
Croissant point.
Yeah, I'll give Nina a croissant point.
No,
there were brownies?
She's like, not a moment have I not been shoving croissants down.
Oh, that's terrible.
No, seriously, this entire time, I've been having not just a plate, but a platter of croissants. I was hungry, okay? And so, I was eating out of, like, it was fear eating the entire time.
You're only fueling Sam Hain!
I thought maybe it would make the fear go away.
Make the fear go away. Eat until the fear goes away.
Yeah.
Who are you, me? So they're going to slowly start to just take everything off of you very methodically and pull it over to the side, and they're going to be holding on to it. And even Mr. Book stumbles and falls, and he's, like, on the ground. And you're still conscious. You understand what's happening to you, but your muscles are twitching and you're, like, having a hard time controlling where you're moving. And Marcel gets up and he's just sort of dusts himself off. And he says, Nathan, you did so good. You were my best student. If you or any of the Ghostbusters wish to join us, we have the helicopter waiting outside, and we're going to get a bird's eye view of the future. Any takers?
Fuck you! Your delicious croissants!
He says, what thing still remains, though? In order for our Lord to reach our physical realm, we would like to shut down your containment grid.
Oh, this.
Would anyone be willing to tell us how to do that? You could come with us, and we'll let you live.
I hope there's a big bag of dicks in your helicopter so you can eat all of them.
Let me make this choice a little easier for you. And he goes over and he picks up a remote and he clicks on the flat screen TV. And as soon as the TV comes on, you see that it's divided into 8 squares. And they're numbered 1 through 8. Marcel then puts out another hand. And one of the SWAT members comes over, puts a walkie-talkie in his hand. And he says, okay, you can begin. And then you see each of the squares eventually uncover as if it's like a body cam. and you're seeing footage of more SWAT members, and they're in like some kind of house somewhere. They all seem separate at first, different locations. Each of them goes to a door, opens it, and you're seeing like first person view. They're holding rifles and stuff. And as they open the door, you see in each of those eight screens a view of the firehouse from neighboring houses that are surrounding the firehouse.
Shit.
And they all start moving in with precision. The sun is pretty much risen at this point, but it's still like really very early, like long shadows and everything like that, still very dark out. And they are silently moving up to the front and the back. You're starting to see what's happening here, but you're kind of on the ground, unable to really do anything. Helpless as you see them kick in the door and they move in, but inside the firehouse, it's all completely dark. And you see them going to room one, like, clear. This room is clear. Going to the next room. Clear. And you're starting, like, you're thinking, oh gosh, when are they going to bump into somebody?
Where's Tobin?
And then suddenly, one of the screens just cuts out. It's out. The others don't seem to notice. They just keep going. All right, next room, clear. Clear. And they're like, they're looking like they're in the garage and like the busted up Ecto-1 is there. They're like looking under the car for things, nothing. And then another one, second one goes out. At this point, Marcel's looking puzzled and he's like, units 2 and 4, what's your status? There's no answer. A third one goes out.
All right, I want to say, problem, Marcel?
He's trying to ignore you, but it clearly bugs him. Marcel says, Alpha team, Bravo team, something's going on. Regroup. And you'll see on another one, a quick flash. It's definitely what you recognize as Ralph. Fangs full out, coming straight at this guy. The guy starts to scream. Hey! It's out. With that glimpse of a clearly a fanged person leaping towards someone before the camera goes out, Marcel says, there's a vampire. You know what to do. And you're going to see them start to move things around. They're going to move, like, change like something like a magazine out of their weapon. And they're going to continue to move and turn on flashlights. And they're moving through. And you're going to see like a horror film, just quick of like Ralph going down hallways and like, you know, zipping and like doing the whole Scooby-Doo back and forth. You don't know where he's going. And they're going to start to lose their cool. And they're going to start opening fire, just like like loud fire inside the firehouse.
Oh, don't hit our painting. Don't hit our painting.
If you shoot my dog, I'll be so mad. Two of them are going to keep their guns out with a light on and CQC style have a stake ready to go. So they seem fairly prepared. So there's four left. Marcel says, send in the backup units.
Acknowledged.
And you see two more taken out by Ralph and the screen goes dark. But when he gets to the second to the last one, which was a ghost eye, Ralph leaps out from like from a doorway and this guy immediately stakes him. And as soon as he stakes him, Ralph freezes and he contorts and he falls to the ground with a stake still inside him, twitching like he's trying to get up, but he can't get up. And then the hand comes up and you hear respond to Marcel. He's just like,
vampire's been neutralized.
They're going to move through. You're going to see from the last two cameras' perspectives, more are going to come in. They're going to start turning the lights on. And eventually one of them that's not on camera is going to pull out Doug and is going to pull out Alan. And they're going to find where the containment unit is. And they're going to set Doug and Alan down. And Doug, me, I'm holding Tobin. And
oh no!
They have him by the containment unit. Marcel says, "This is have them shut down the containment grid. We need to release the Druden." One of the SWAT members there, he's just talking to both of us, and he's just like,
"How do we shut this down?"
And of course, Alan and Doug don't say anything because you know we're cool.
Roll it.
You killed the only guy who knew. And this guy's getting impatient.
Answer me.
And they're going to grab Tobin and they're going to pull him aside and Tobin's barking and he's whining and they're going to have a gun and they're going to say,
we're going to execute you one at a time, starting with this animal.
Oh, they wouldn't.
I think they would.
They killed people.
Yeah. I look at Alan and I look at Tobin and I'm shaking my head.
You can go ahead and kill us. We're not going to turn it off.
You'll see, because this is all from POV cameras from inside. The hand that's holding the gun against Tobin, and Tobin's barking like crazy now because he's picked up something. Something's going on. This guy who's holding the gun to Tobin, suddenly a big leathery clawed hand grabs him. And you hear a familiar voice of Sam Hain say,
that will not
be necessary.
And they all turn, and from all these cameras, whip panning over, Sam Hain, as you have seen him before, is standing inside the firehouse, and they all immediately kneel.
I require as many lives as possible. Stand aside.
And they scoot out of his way. He goes over to the containment grid. He puts his hands on it. He's looking at it. He flips open the outer panel. And he takes his hand and he just reaches inside. And the warning lights kick on. And the buzzer rings. And light just comes pouring out from inside the containment grid. And he's just reaching in his hand. Just like he's searching and searching. And then he pulls out his hand and like a class one comes out. It's just like a ball of light that just sort of dances around and leaves. And then he puts both of his hands in and he starts pulling, using all of his strength. And he starts bending the containment grid open, making an opening. And the light starts really coming out, starts pouring out, and all like the wind starts coming out. And even where you are inside Marcel's house, the power flickers. A wave of energy emits from the containment grid, hits the cameras, and they all go out. And Marcel says, "Oh, well, that's a shame. Time to leave." And he looks to the men, the SWAT teams who are there, and he says, "Bring up the gibbet. Let's put Nathan in there." So they bring up a gibbet, which he must have had saved somewhere. And this is like those old-timey... It's not an Iron Maiden, but it's in the shape of a man. Like,
right.
With the sort of tapirs, like sort of more towards the bottom where your feet would be. Gets widened as it comes to the shoulders. Gets more narrow to the neck and up over the head.
But the inside is just like that of
it's
an
a cage.
Iron Maiden?
No, there's no spikes inside. It's just a cage.
Oh, thank goodness.
It's an open cage. And he's going to motion to another cultist member. And they're going to hit a button, and the chandelier that's in the center of the library is going to come down. It's actually a super strong reinforced chain. They're going to just unhook the chandelier, just drop it to the side, hook it to the top of this, and they're going to grab Nathan, and they're going to open the little door on it. They're going to shove him in so he's standing upright. They're going to close it behind him. They're going to put two padlocks on it, and they're going to start to crank it back up, and it starts to go back up. And as they're going around, they start to break the furniture. And they're moving around, and they get, like, some table legs, they get some chairs, and just the upholstery and everything, and they start making a pile under where the gibbet is hanging. And around this point, everyone starts to feel like they may get a little something. So everyone give me a muscles roll to see how you're doing.
Oh, Nina.
I know.
Oh, me. I didn't roll Ghost yet.
All right, what did Adam, what did you get?
7.
LaForge?
13.
Nina?
Ghost.
Pool?
11 and a ghost.
And Wall?
13.
LaForge and Wall are feeling like they can start to stand. You're very wobbly, but you're thinking, I'm getting it back. Like pins and needles, like it's starting to come off.
Okay.
Marcel is going to signal to the rest of the team. He goes, all right, set a fire and we can leave. He's going to open the French doors that lead to the backyard where the police helicopter that escaped earlier is already parked. It's been waiting there this entire time. He's going to start waving for everyone to leave. Like his assistant Kelly is going to come out and she's going to go and she's going to leave. The two other cultist members from earlier in the night, they're going to start leaving. And sure enough, they're going to start lighting fires everywhere. Marcel says, oh, and just in case you're wondering, the rest of the house already has incendiary devices ready. So this mansion is going up very shortly. You can leave and still survive, but Nathan was really the only one that I'm really concerned about. So, Nathan, I know this is a poor excuse for a Wicker Man, but it'll have to do. And as for the rest of you, our Lord and Savior, Sam Hain, does value human life. So I hope you'll find a way to serve him in this world and not the next. And with that, he leaves. And the fire starts to spread, and the SWAT team takes your equipment. They take your swords and take your axes, and they're out, and the fire is spreading. Now is the time for you guys to act. I'd say Wall and LaForge, you feel confident enough to stand.
If I have a quick look, can I spot that button that they pushed to raise that chain?
Yes, it's up the staircase on the second floor.
Oh, I don't have to roll. Okay.
No, you saw it happen.
Okay, all right, cool. Then I don't have to look for that. I want to make my way up there to that.
Okay.
See if there's a down button. Maybe.
I'll say, sure. You can make your way up there, but the fire is spreading all throughout all these books. This is all paper, you know, and it's all old, dusty leather tomes and stuff. So you can go ahead and make your way up there, but the fire is spreading really fast. LaForge, okay. What would you like to do?
There's a fire built underneath him.
Yes.
I'm going to run in because not much time has passed of that fire being lit. And I'm going to pick up pieces of the broken furniture that are on fire and throw them away from the center.
Just like
of the
start
floor.
To push it all away or whatever.
Just spread it out. Get it away from us.
Okay, you can start doing that. Everyone else, muscles roll. And okay, as long as no one got a ghost eye, you're able to get up. We can start kicking ass now. Wall gets to the top, goes up the little tiny spiral staircase. You go over to the button, you go over, you hit it, and nothing happens because this house is on fire. Shit!
It's got to be what? How many feet in air is this thing? And
it's two floors. It's not all the way up to the ceiling. It's suspended between two floors.
Could we swing? Like, I don't know. How do we swing it? There's really no way to swing it. Could one of us jump and then grab it and just kind of swing and maybe get it over to the upstairs and kind of drag it over and unhook it at the very least? I don't.
That's an idea.
I'm already on the second floor.
I have a climb of four. Does that help?
Climbing actually might do something.
All right, let's.
Who's gonna?
All right, they take my climbing kit. I don't know what they took. Like,
crap.
They took pretty much everything.
What do we have in the van?
In the van, you had the beach kit, two ghost traps, and the two-handed battle axe.
I'll run and get it. I'll run. I'll use my round. Do something useful.
This is a heavy reinforced chain that we're talking about.
The one that's suspending him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, okay.
I mean, a battle axe is better than the sticks we have.
How high is he off the ground, though?
Like from the bottom of the cage, I'd say maybe. I'm just throwing it out there. 10 feet. Is that your run?
Yeah.
What is it?
16.
Okay. You try to bolt out the doorway that you came in. As soon as you open it, fire. So you can go out the French doors. The helicopter has already taken off. It's already left the ground. It is on its way into the distance over the lake. You can think, okay, well, I have to run around the outside of the house. There's no other way to get through there. So you're going to run. I'm just going to say you start the process of running around the outside of the house to get back to the Ecto-1. In the meantime, Mr. Book, Nathan, he's still in the gibbet, and he's starting to come to, and he's just like, what do I do? What can I do?
Not much. We're working on it.
Say your prayers. Don't be afraid.
So is he high enough for us to touch physically?
If you could you could jump and smack the bottom of it, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's much closer than I was thinking.
What did I say? It was like 10 feet?
Oh, I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, okay. You could if you jumped high enough, in theory, you could grab it.
Okay. Well, they took the climbing kit.
Yeah.
How'd they know? Okay. Well, they set the trap.
Yeah.
I'll give Nina a boost.
Okay.
So is the plan to try and swing him over to the second floor to the where we can then
stand it up straight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's hooked on the hook, right?
Yeah.
We could unhook it, put him on our shoulders, run out of here.
I got carry.
Yeah.
Yeah, you sure? I mean, just let's
you use hairpins on the walls.
All right, so explain how you're going to give her a boost.
Okay. All right, so I nod over to Nina and hold my hands out to give her a boost up onto the thing.
All right, Nina, go ahead and give me your climb.
14.
He's definitely going to boost you up high enough, and you can definitely start climbing on it. You have a good foothold, you have some good handholds, and you're there, and you're kind of eye level with Mr. Book. He's so restrained, he really can't do anything. So are you just going to start shifting your weight on it, trying to swing like on an old swing set, just start to swing towards where Wall is on the second floor, where he can grab you?
Can you just let your foot down, and I'll grab your foot and start swinging you?
That too? Whatever?
Sure, sure.
Okay.
Because that would probably... I don't have that much weight to swing, yeah. You would... That'd be helpful.
Yeah.
Well.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
A big swing set. I'll just keep pushing.
So Nina, with Nina's role, she's gonna be grabbed on. She's going to dangle a foot down and be like, all right. And then, Josh, you can grab her by the ankle and just start swinging her over. Give me a muscles roll to try and get her over to Wall. And Wall, go ahead and give me a moves roll just so you can time the reach where you can try and grab the cage from the opposite side. And with that, I'll say, all right, Briggs, while they're doing that, you get out to the Ecto-1. You can open it. Battle axe is in there. So are the two traps.
Wouldn't it be faster if I just drove around to the back? It's obviously a big place.
You had to hop over some fences and stuff. I mean, if you want to... You know what? If you want to drive through, fuck it, man. Just give me your drive. If you want to get back there fast enough.
33.
Okay. With that, I'll say Briggs is running around the outside of the house. He jumps over one of those shitty metal fences. He hops that. And you make a mental note, you're like, oh, okay, if I hit that with the car right there, I can hit it with the car right there, and it would just open up. So then you run over to the van,
yeah.
You look into the back, you go, ah, battle axe, perfect. Yep. You start the car, you slam on the gas, you go around the roundabout to pick up some speed, and as you're coming out of the turn, you just go right onto the outside of the house, like right on the outside fence there, and you hit it nose first right to where the joint of the gate meets. Flies open, you're on the grass now, just bump, 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 bumping your way around to the back. You can skid it to a stop, kicking up some grass there, and now you're in the backyard with the van and with the battle axe.
Open up the back, grab the battle axe, and I guess head on back in.
Sure. You go inside, you can see that they're swinging, and all right, now what are the outcome of the rolls?
17 strength to swing me in.
Nice. And for wall?
17 moves to catch the cape.
Oh, shit. There you go. Then so, yeah, you work it up. You swing Nina forward. Nina, like, throws her weight behind it. The cage swings forward. Wall reaches out. He grabs it, and you start to, like, lift it up. You got it at this point.
And I'm going to run up the stairs to join both of them.
Sure thing. Meanwhile, the fire is spreading. Well, the fire is spreading throughout the entire library. Like, the walls are basically on fire now, and it's spreading upwards onto the second floor as well.
Give me a hand.
Well, I'm also going to pick up the book and the material off the ground.
Oh, good call. Okay.
And pocket those and then run up to help Wall.
Sure. Briggs at this point is going to be running in with the battle axe. I'll say you guys can all meet up onto the second floor.
I give it to LaForge.
Okay. Clench your teeth, buddy.
Is he still standing up? Do you want to lay him down or how do you want to do this?
Oh, I thought we like pulled him and laid him down.
Yeah, that's okay. Okay, then I'm just making it clear. You can lay him down.
Okay, so he's laying down and I say, close your eyes. Then I take the battle axe and I'm going to hit the padlocks with it.
Okay, yeah, you can hit that because it's like face up. It's like right there. So you're good. Open it up, get him out, and you are free to go.
We go, right?
Yeah, let's go. Let's beat it. Let's get out of here. This place is on fire.
All right, so you head outside. The van's still running. You pile in, and as you're moving into the van, the sun is just about to like rise over the trees. Like the sunrise has already basically happened, but you hear a distant boom.
That's not good.
I know what that sound is.
Space shuttle.
Yeah, what's the saying?
What direction is the firehouse from where we're at?
South.
I look south.
After a moment, you see a silent, inky, cloud tank movement of a column of just blackness rise up and just start spreading outward like an opening umbrella, just pouring out silently. And it is darker than dark.
We have no idea where they went with all of our gear, obviously.
Do I have my phone? Did they take my phone off of me?
Probably not. They were more concerned with the ghostbusting tools. Nina had her phone out, so they took that. But yeah, I'd say that if you had your phone inside one of your pockets or one of your things, they probably would have not have thought about it.
All right, I'm going to call Felicia Silver.
Yeah. Good idea.
Okay. Give me a ghost eye roll.
Piss.
I'll say you dial it. It rings. She answers.
Pool? What's the situation over there?
Everything bad. Really bad things. We have no weapons. Firehouses is screwed.
I see a black cloud filling the sky. What's happening?
The apocalypse, basically. It's going to be dark for a while, but...
get a flashlight.
last we had spoken to you, I asked you to take
please
your...
Please repeat. Pool, what's your location?
We need...
And you just start to hear... As this dark cloud spreads more and more and more, you're losing a signal. And she's just like...
Useless.
And she's hearing something. You're only catching bits and pieces of what she's saying. Of just,
if you hear me, wait at the firehouse. Stay alive.
The call failed.
That was my failed attempt at getting us guns because I was trying to get Silver Team to meet us.
Would it be a bad idea to go to? Wait, we don't even know where they are because we are kind of bagged, weren't we, when we went there?
You were able to get a message out to Felicia Silver about the firehouse.
Right.
Okay.
All right. I guess let's go there and I'll kick stuff until
that
I die.
Sounds like a plan. Sure. Yeah.
So I guess I'm driving
let's
back.
Let's get that drive back. You want to get there?
Oh, yay. Now I'm nervous. Okay. Let's do
now
this.
You're nervous?
As the world's ending again.
25.
You're zooming through. There's like hardly any traffic. It's like the street lights are turning off because it's supposed to be dawn. But this inky blackness is just spreading fast. It's just going to the horizon, just going fat, out, 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 out. And this nonstop column that keeps shooting up from where the best guess is that this is the firehouse. And I'll say, when you finally pull up to the firehouse, it's in ruin. The roof has been ripped off. It's just shooting up all this inky black stuff into the sky. No sound. The boom that obviously that happened earlier was the explosion of the firehouse. The containment grid clearly has gone down. It's class ones and twos just floating out, you know, going off in different directions. But this inky column just keeps just flaring up into the sky. And by the time you pull up, the horizon is just covered. This is pitch black. You can't see any stars. You can see in front of you. You can see around you on ground level. But it's like the worst night imaginable. The firehouse is on fire. There is green flames, there is yellow flames, and Lane sprawled out front, because there's like, you know, beams have fallen and everything, it's been destroyed. Out front is Alan Friedman, and he's like laying on the grass, like barely conscious, on his back, face up.
All right, I'm going to run and check on him.
Okay.
Do I need to do first aid?
You can do it real quick to sort of assess what happened.
How bad's the fire in the firehouse?
It's very bad.
12.
It's looking like he may have a broken leg, maybe even two broken legs. He is in shock. He doesn't even seem to be fully aware of like what's exactly happening.
Okay, well, he's coming with us.
Yep.
Wherever we go.
But we need, let's find...
Well, I'm going to question him. Like, where's the good Tobin?
The garage door has fallen down, so you can kind of see into where the garage is. The Ecto-1 has a beam that fell on it. It's collapsed. It's on fire. But from underneath one of the beams, you see the shape of Doug climbing under and coming out, and I'm stumbling. Look like I may have injured my foot or my leg, and I'm carrying Tobin. And as I stumble outside, Tobin's fur is covered soot. As I finally clear the firehouse in like a last-ditch effort to just get away from it using all my energy, I collapse onto my back, clutching Tobin, and I just lay there like out of breath.
I'm going to go grab Doug.
I'm going to run over.
Yeah.
I'm breathing.
Okay, he's breathing. Cool. I'm going to pick up Doug and Tobin, and I'm going to carry them away.
I'll grab Tobin.
Okay.
Instead of you carrying two.
You guys grab Doug. I grab Tobin. How's that?
You can pick him up. It's not... He's a dog. He's not... No.
Is he breathing?
And you're just trying to get him away.
Is he breathing?
Give me a brains roll.
The only phone call that works is Briggs.
So, okay.
What's happening? Florida looks weird from here.
15 and a ghost.
With 15 and a ghost, you're certain he's not breathing.
Oh, God. First aid. I'll use first aid.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Use first aid on a dog. Go I'm going to spend 3 brownie points. 19.
You can start trying to give him CPR, but it's
I will try.
You're doing your best, but you're not seeing anything happen just quite yet.
Oh God,
keep trying.
Everyone else, give me a brains roll to look around and see what else is going on here. Because now it's basically nighttime and streetlights aren't even on.
6 and a ghost.
Okay, and Wall.
15.
And Briggs.
15.
You rolled on that one. What did you get?
21 and a ghost.
Okay. You're looking around, you're realizing that it's really lonely out here. You're not seeing any other people. You're definitely not seeing any more of the SWAT team. And you're looking into the wreckage, you can start to see some of the bodies of like this evil SWAT team that has been crushed in this destruction here. But something catches your eye and you gasp. And then that's when Briggs looks up. And what you see is stepping inside the garage is the full figure of Sam Hain that you've already known and seen like thus far. And he just has these endless eyes, and he looks over at everybody and the chaos that's happening on the ground with the dog and everything. And when he locks eyes with Briggs, he waves, and then a black smoke comes out, envelops him, and he's gone.
I just sit there like, and I just like clench my fist and I start shaking because I'm so mad. I'm just like,
and Wall, what did you get?
I got 15.
While that's happening, you hear shuffling feet from down the street and a dull, low moan, which sounds a lot like the approach of zombies.
Oh, great.
And with me unconscious but breathing, Tobin not responding, we're going to end it there tonight.
Fucking shit!
Thanks for listening to Ghostbusters Resurrection. If you found our services satisfactory, please consider telling a friend or rate and review us on your favorite podcast player.
If you value our world-class ghost removal services, please consider supporting the Nerdy Show Network on Patreon.
At patreon.com/omniversemedia, you'll find exclusive Ghostbusters Resurrection bonus material, RPG resources, and ad-free episodes of all our storytelling podcasts. Again, that's patreon.com/omniversemedia.
If you'd like to run your own Ghostbusters role-playing game, head over to gbrpg.com for more information.
If you'd like to report a spook, spectre, or ghost, you can leave us a voicemail at 321-209-2020.
We're ready to believe you.
This is Drew from the Denver Division. I'm busy setting up the firehouse, and I'm currently looking for hires like I was told to. I know there's somebody from, hang on, I think I have it here. I think they came from the Kansas Division, and they're sending the proton packs, but I have no words. And the New York Division had gave me this number and told me to call you. I'm currently setting this up blind, so if you could call back and help me sort this out, that would be fantastic. So call me back when you can. Okay, thanks.
Hi, Ghostbusters.
We're big fans.
We're big fans.
We're going to be you guys for Halloween.
We're going to be you guys for Halloween.
Howdy all the way from San Antonio, Texas.
Howdy all the way from San Antonio, Texas.
Okay, bye, Ghostbusters.
Bye, Ghostbusters.